You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, parents, today I am excited to embark on a three-week series called Biblical Parenting. We're going to cover just the fundamental law of parenting, like what ultimately is our goal as parents, raising our kids in a Christian home and adopting our values. We're going to talk about the four parenting styles that can really impact the way you raise your kiddos. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the gentle parenting concept that's been a pretty big movement in recent years. And I know there's been a lot of questions among young families that we work with, just, you know, what's good, what's bad, what should we take, what should we not take. So that's what we're going to talk about over the next couple weeks here on this podcast. I really encourage you to do this with a parenting small group or with your spouse or just with a couple of friends that have kids in your same age group and go through this series and talk about it and decide to be ultimately, as parents, especially in this crazy world in which we live, you really have to make a decision on if you're going to be active in parenting or if you're going to just be reactive and just kind of like, I only have so much energy to give. And so I just hope that they turn out okay. My hope is that as you go through this series, you're going to realize just how important the role you have in your kids' lives and that good, healthy parenting is a daily process of engaging our kids, bringing Jesus into the home on a daily basis, or else just the voices out there in culture are just going to get louder and louder, especially as your kids get older and you're going to lose that battle. Your voice is going to get smaller and smaller if you're not proactive and intentional in your parenting. Okay, so with that as our brief setup, today we're going to just look at this idea of the fundamental law of parenting. This is something we talk about in all of our Pursue God resources for parents. The idea is that your job as a parent is to instill your biblical values into your kids' lives, that as they grow and as they get older and as they earn your trust and you give more and more control, so to speak, of their lives over to them, that by the time they leave your home, let's say 18 years old, they're ready to go out into the world because you've trained them, because you've taught them, you've mentored them, that they have the tools that they need. They have the understanding of biblical values that they continue to live those out even when they're not under your roof. So that's the fundamental law of parenting, that over those 18 years, you are transferring ownership by giving them more and more freedom to make choices as they get into those teenage years, understanding consequences for choices that are good or bad, so that when they leave home, they're not lost little puppies, that everything's just been done for them. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, good luck. I hope you can figure it out. So that's kind of the underlying principle. The process of parenting over those 18 years is transferring your values over to your kids. Now, there's two scriptures that we want to highlight today that speak to this idea of this foundational idea of ownership. Proverbs 22:6, you've probably heard it before. Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, would we all love for this to be a promise that God says, as long as I do my part, the kids will turn out perfectly? That's not what this is saying. It's a principle. And look at the active word there, train up a child in the way they should go. So that's saying to us parents that we play a pivotal, important role in the lives of our kids, that we have to be actively imparting our values, teaching, and training along the way so that when they're old, they too will borrow and own those for themselves and they won't depart from it. We also see from Moses in Deuteronomy 6, this idea of telling the people, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Again, you see here this idea of the parents' responsibility. Not only are they supposed to obey the commands, but they're to impress them onto their children. And the way we do that, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but it's talking. When you're at home, when you're walking along the road, in your day-to-day life, you bring God's truth into it. That's the way you impress things on your kids' hearts. Because at the end of the day, parents, and I'm sure many of us have faced this before, We can force things on our kids, but isn't it a much better thing when they choose to be obedient because they know it's the right thing to do? I mean, again, parents, it is such a temptation to just be like controlling and just, this is what you do. I said so. But it's a very different approach to say, listen, I'm your parent. Here's what God's word says. Therefore, these are the rules, or this is why we're asking you to do X, Y, or Z, or not to do X, Y, or Z. That you're training your kids, that you're giving them insight into why you're making certain rules that you make. So it's not about force and control, but rather helping to teach and to train and to impress on their hearts so that they'll want to continue to make those choices when they aren't under your responsibility. Now, to me, the best picture for the most adequate picture, maybe to describe what we're trying to do as parents of transferring our values and ownership, is the difference between what a typical renter attitude would be over a home or a property or an apartment versus an owner. And here's what I mean. Now, I don't mean to disparage people that rent, because there's lots of great renters out there. But in general, when someone rents a place, I mean, even a short-term rental like an Airbnb, our attitude is, well, I mean, I'll do what's necessary, but I'm not going to go above and beyond. I'm not washing the dishes or the sheets. You know, things may have gotten a little dirty. Not my problem. I'm leaving in 2 days. If you rent an apartment or somebody's home, we've had a rental property before. I saw firsthand how some of our renters did not treat the property well because they were just there temporarily. It didn't matter what they did to it because it wasn't their investment. They weren't going to lose money off of the condition it was left in. So their attitude was kind of like, this is short term for me. I don't really care if I keep up with the yard or if I make a hole in the wall. That's the owner's problem. Versus when you're an owner of a property, whether it's an Airbnb or a long-term rental, we care about protecting the investment because we have money on the line. And so as parents, if we take that picture, we're not trying to raise renters, kids that are just like, listen, while I'm in your home, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm doing it begrudgingly, and I'm doing it just so I stay out of the crosshairs of punishment. But as soon as they leave the house, they're like, peace out. I don't care what your rules or your values. I don't care about the Bible. I'm going my own way. Versus raising kids that own their faith, that own those biblical values, because you've trained them and taught them on the way so that they make that decision like, that matters to me. I'm committed to that because I understand that's the right way to do things. And so parents, have that picture in your mind that as you're training up, as you're raising your kids, you're not looking for the renter mentality where they just obey you for the moment because they don't want to get in trouble, or they're just obeying you while they're in the home, but they're going to, as soon as they leave the house, they're going to just go do their own thing. That we really are trying to create kids that own those values because they understand as we go along and as you bring biblical truth into the day-to-day things, that they're like, that makes sense. God's way is better than going my own way. Okay, so with that in mind, some of you might be like, okay, that's really nice. How in the world do I do this practically? So I'm just going to lay out a couple of things that from our own parenting experience, but just from, you know, research and just looking at different families that we've really respected how kiddos have turned out, these are the things that parents were doing. So here's just a couple of practical steps that you can take to really encourage the ownership piece, the transferring of those values that your kids will own when they leave the house. So the first thing is, obviously, we have to model it as parents. Our kids are watching us. So if we say God is important, then we need to show that in our own lives. I will never forget that every morning that I woke up to go to school, my mom was up with her coffee and reading her Bible. So even though my mom never had to say like, hey, I read my Bible every day, I saw it. She modeled it. So when she would challenge me on, well, how are you putting God first in your life? Or do you ever read the Bible? I wasn't able to just come back with a retort of, well, I never see you do it. You're hypocritical to ask that of me or to be critical of me when you don't do it yourself. So parents, we have to model the values that we want them to own. So if we want our kids to understand the centrality of Jesus in their life, then look at your own life. Look at your own habits and disciplines and say, am I modeling that? Are we making time for Jesus? The second thing that I would say, they go together, that you're encouraging discovery and creating a culture of conversation. So the idea of discovery is that it's really easy as parents for us just to lecture our kids and just talk at them. But man, isn't it better if we can ask questions, A, to make sure that our kids even track with what we're saying, but invite them into the conversation. I know that there have been many times where I just would go on this, you know, sermonette for my kids, and you just watch their eyes glaze over. So they would just stand there until I was finished talking, but I don't know that they were really listening. And so what's the point of that in the end? That my kids would just endure this long sermonette that I'm giving, but then they had no desire to let that penetrate their heart. So the better thing to do is to encourage discovery by asking questions like, why do you think God cares that we are truth tellers versus liars? Like, I like the example so much. Jesus did this so many times where he would be presented with the question, usually the Pharisees trying to trap him into something or to expose something. And Jesus's response would be, well, what does the law of Moses say? Like, he would ask the question then back to the Pharisees, who were supposed to be, you know, the professionals as it came to the law. So when they're trying to trap Jesus by, well, what does the law really say? What's the most important commandment, Jesus? And then he's saying, well, what does the law of Moses say? You tell me, based on your experience, based on your understanding. By asking questions of our kids, by saying, okay, you came home today saying that so-and-so left you out at recess. Why is that hurtful? Talk about their feelings. What's the better way? How should we treat people? What's the golden rule? Bring God's truth into the conversation and ask your kids to be a part of it by asking questions, by creating a culture of conversation. And I've said this many times before on this podcast and in our parenting resources on pursuegod.org. That was the most important thing that we did, was to make biblical conversations something that we did as a family. Now, I'm not saying we were perfect at it. I'm not saying that we did it every week, but we really tried to carve out 30 minutes in our week where we would choose a topic on Pursue God that was like, you know, as our kids got a little older, in the student section or in the kids section, and we would have a conversation. We'd watch the video that would frame the conversation, then we would talk about it as a family. Those times created such an important culture in our home where my husband and I were able to create a safe place for our kids, especially as they got into those teen years, that we weren't going to overreact. We weren't going to be angry. We weren't going to be judgmental, that we could talk about the things that they were going through in the day to day. And we could go to the Bible and say, okay, what does scripture say about this? What's the right way to view this? What's the right way to respond in that situation? You know, what, you know, was you get into social media and all those things. Well, what would the Bible, even though the Bible doesn't talk specifically about social media, what are the principles we can find that should dictate the way you handle yourself online? Those were the most fruitful times for our kids that we were able to talk through things that maybe never would have come to the surface had we not created the culture of conversation. So model the values, encourage discovery by asking questions and a culture of conversation. I think the next thing is really important is encourage friendships with people who share your values. So there may be, you know, you might have your friends at school, but it's so important to have a community within your church where you may not have all the things in common with someone from school, but at church, you have a couple of families that you can get together with. Your kids can see that they act and value the same things that you value. Having friendships with people that have a like-mindedness is important for your kids, and it's important for you as parents. So if you're not involved in a church community, I would really encourage you to do that. Get involved in a small group, get your kids involved in the kids' church, and just make sure that there are people around your kids that look at life the same way that you do. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And especially as your kids get older, it's going to be really easy for your kids to just be like, well, this is what everybody else is doing, if they're only around people with more of a worldly view. We need to also put them around other people that would say, no, I agree with your mom and dad, and this is the way we choose to live too, so they don't feel like they're alone in that. And then the last thing is prayer for transformation. At the end of the day, the Holy Spirit does the work in our kids. We're creating the environment. We're teaching and training and impressing things on their heart. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit has to reveal the truth of who Jesus is to our kids. They have to make their own personal confession of faith. And so we need to pray, like Ezekiel 36 says, that our kids have a tender heart, that they don't have a stubborn heart that's stony and hard towards the Lord, but that they're tender and teachable and humble. So pray for that every day for your kids. Pray protection over them. Pray that God brings the right friends into their life. Pray for the right opportunities to come along, but pray over your kids that they would not be renters of your values, that they would truly come to own their values for themselves, and that they would carry that with them as they move on to moving out of your house, maybe onto college, eventually getting married and having a family of their own. So parents, I hope that this, just kind of framing this about the fundamental law of parenting, is helpful for you. Use these practical steps to help you to be intentional in parenting, because I'm telling you and I promise you, it is worth the effort and the intentionality and the energy that it takes to be active in your parenting, to raise your kids, to own their faith for themselves when they leave your home. So don't give up, be strong, and I'm praying for you.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.